Kof Gimel Tammuz, Monday the 25th of July, by Danny Kirsch, Wyatt Sayiska, and omission I made yesterday. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Sid Goldschmidt of Fairlawn, New Jersey, in honour of Adam Lasky, Joey Joseph, and the Start Your Day, the Torah Way website.
Good morning, everyone. During these 3 weeks, it's a very painful and sad time of the year, where we remember the events that impacted on our people over millennia. I'm reminded, as I start the day, the Torah Way, of the Mishnah in Tanis, Chamisha Devarim Yireis HaRosein B'Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, about the five things that happened to Klal Yisrael, to our fathers on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. And amongst them is Uvotel HaTomid, the daily sacrifices which were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The siege of Yerushalayim prevented more animals being able to be bought, and as a result of that, the daily sacrifices which had been going on for hundreds of years ceased. And I once heard from one of my rebbeim, during these 3 weeks, what must we work on to be mesakein? The fact that Botel HaTomid, and that is every area of our life, we must look for Tomid. We must look for consistency and continuity. And getting up every morning and running from shul to ensure you start the day learning is a way of reinstating in our world the Tomid. We must look for opportunities to bring back Tomid into our lives, and learning regularly is just one of those many methods. You know, during these 3 painful weeks, it's well known, you know, weddings, shechionos, simchas, this is a time of year of great pain, a time of year of great sadness, and a time of year of reflection. And when we read the kinnas, when we read the piyutim, Shivasa B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, we're obligated to remember, to remind ourselves of all those extraordinary Yidden over millennium who dedicated their lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and died Al Kiddush Hashem. And these 3 weeks obligate us in a sort of a Yizkor, in a reminder and a memory of those people who passed from this world. We'll return in a moment to certain aspects of those remembrances for the 3 weeks. But with it, I'd like to deal with a question which has bothered me, I'm sure has bothered you, which is the interesting custom, tradition, which is in the Ashkenazi community, which is that you say Yizkor, they have remembrances of people on Yom Tov. The end of Yom Tov, the shul is packed. The minhag is that those people who have relatives, Baruch Hashem, family members, who are still alive, leave the shul, and those people recall and connect and invite the lost relatives. It's always strange that you imagine something like Yizkor would be done during the 3 weeks. It's a painful time. It's a time even for tears and recollection. Yet, strangely, the minhag is in Klal Yisrael amongst the Ashkenazim, I think up to 1,000 years this minhag has been, that Yizkor is done on Yom Tov. Always bothered me, why do Yizkor on Yom Tov? Shlomo HaMelech says, B'yom tov v'hayah b'tov. On a good and happy day, your qualification to fulfill the obligation is to be happy. So why are we doing Yizkor? In fact, it's brought in Halacha, lo aleinu, somebody passes away during Yom Tov, and there's a funeral on Yom Tov. The thought of a hesped is unheard of. You don't give a maspid a person during Yom Tov. Yet, at the end of Yom Tov itself, we do Yizkor. We mention those people who passed on and moved on to another world. Some want to suggest that perhaps that's why we do it at the very end of Yom Tov. Because perhaps they want to say, last day Yom Tov is only Derabbanan, and the Mitzvah, V'samachta B'chagecha, V'yisach Sameach, has a different qualification on the last day of Yom Tov. And maybe, Efshay, you can say that that's a reason why they do the end of Yom Tov. But my good friend tells me that there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael that on which day of Sukkot? Shmini Atzeres. So if we're in Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, it doesn't work. And in fact, the whole thing doesn't work in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you have the extraordinary combination of Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, and Yizkor. So in the Sefer Adei Avadibah, the Oznaim LaTorah draws our attention to this. And interestingly enough, Zalman Sorotsky points out that he was always looking for ways to find when people are going to come to shul. And even in his time, he pointed out that sadly not everybody comes to shul as often as they're supposed to come to shul. And the shuls aren't as packed as they should be. But when it comes to Yizkor, he suddenly finds the shuls are packed and the shuls are full. And therefore, this is the time where he feels he needs to give his droshas. In fact, interesting enough, he points out that sometimes he feels like Bilam's donkey, he says. I tried to find a way to get through, he says, to my community. I go this way and I'm blocked. I go that way and I'm blocked. I have to go around the corner. And now I've found one of the best ways to get to my community is to speak to them on Yizkor. But how is this idea of Yizkor that it falls on a Yom Tov? Where does this come from? And also it's very strange that if it is going to fall on a Yom Tov, why it should fall at the very end? You know, there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael. When it comes to Yom Tov, there's a need to go visit one's family. Family get together, an opportunity to see people you haven't seen for a while. And the Derech Eretz is, it's probably a seder to who you go to visit and how your visiting is going. Who would you imagine you go first? Well, you take your wife and your children. The first people you go is to visit one's parents. Invite the closest members of the family over. The family come first, the parents come first. Hakarov, Karov Kaidem. The closer whom you are in relative to a person, the greater the obligation is. And if you want to say, yeah, but this is different because the people are no longer in this world, and you're inviting your parents and you're connecting with those relatives and they're no longer in this world, perhaps the obligation would be that that doesn't have the same chiyuv. But the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Omid Beis, tells us not so straightforward. The halacha is, Mikvoda b'chayev, Mikvoda b'meisah. There's an obligation to show kibud av ha'eim, to be mechabed one's parents, both in their lifetimes and after they pass away. And in fact, the Gemara discusses there exactly how a person is mechabed their parents during their lifetime. And the halacha of the language which a person uses when they recall something the father's done in the first year and beyond that, and always to mention something that a person does in reference to one's parents. So the concept of kibbud certainly continues after the parents have passed away and moved on to a different world. In fact, there's the Chazal which tells us, the Gedolim Sadikim, b'misosam yoseh b'b'chayehem, that actually great people are considered even greater after they pass away than during their own lives. We have this very strange phenomena. Yom Tov starts, we eat, we drink, we have our Simchas Yom Tov, and right at the very end, as if to say, people go visit their parents. It's a strange phenomenon, this. I don't know if anybody has considered this concept of exactly how Yizkor is and why it's done in this Seder. So, I have to share with you a little history of mine personally. I wasn't always destined to go into the Rabbonis. When I left school, the plan was going to work for a company called IDB. Stands for Into Daddy's Business. And my father was a manufacturer, and he used to, do you remember those days in England where people used to manufacture things? Anyway, my father was a manufacturer, and he had a glove company, and he used to make fashion accessories, and I was destined to go into the family business and work in the family business. And of course, what's extraordinary is that in any business, there's seasons. I'm sure it comes to the summer holidays, money changing, I hope it's going to be even busier. And it comes to the clothes business, then there's a time when people choose seasons. My father was manufacturing gloves. So the seasons were quite extraordinary. We used to sometimes go up to people and say, you're looking very cold. Perhaps you need a pair of gloves. But there are seasons for different things. And of course it's well known that when it comes to Yom Tov, there's an obligation to buy clothes. In fact, the Rambam brings it down in the halacha of the Samachta B'chagech, or how it is you fulfill the obligation of making people happy on Yom Tov. Says the Rambam, you buy jewelry and you buy special clothes for your wife. And it's well known that to appreciate and understand and enjoy the Simcha of Yom Tov, there's an inyan to have special clothes. So let's imagine this family gathering is happening with the people who are living, Baruch Hashem, in this world, and everybody comes together for Yom Tov. Idea to gather with the family we mentioned beforehand, and of course, because there's an obligation on Yom Tov to wear one's best, one wears special clothes. Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, concept of not dressing properly is something which is Baruch Hashem far beyond us. Yom Tov, we wear special clothes. Says Oz Lain HaTorah, let's just imagine for a moment that somebody turns up for this Yom Tov gathering, and they're clothes are torn. Let's imagine that somebody turns up for the Yom Tov gathering and they've got big stains on their jacket, or the trousers are fraying badly at the bottom. What will this do to the other members of the family who see them dressed accordingly? They'll have tremendous achmas nefesh. This won't be simple as Yom Tov. This will be a very painful experience. To see my close relative, to see my korov dressed like this, nebuch, there must be problems. Must be problems, must be difficulties. And I'll feel obligated to attempt to help a person. Not dressed properly for Yom Tov. He's not wearing the levush correctly. There's a stain, there's a rip. Oh, what achmas nefesh, what pain is going on here? Says the Osnayim Torah an extraordinarily interesting idea. And he says as follows. You know, in the Olam HaEmes, they have different tailors, and there's different manufacturers as to what makes a wonderful garment. In the Olam HaEmes, it's not the style, and it's not the fashion, and it's not the color coordination to ensure that everything looks just perfect. In the Olam HaEmes, there's a different way that Chazal described the clothes that people wear. The Chalukah de Rabbanan. Shlomo HaMelech in Keheles, in Perek Tet, tells us, B'chol eis, continuously, you begodecha levonim, a person's clothes have got to be beautiful, clean and special. What is Shlomo HaMelech referring to when he's describing that a person's got to be wearing very special clothes? Says with Medrash in Kerlis Rabba, Ho eina medaba ella b'mitzvahs v'mas and tovim. In the Olam HaEmes, that which clothes a person, that which puts a garment upon a person, is the mitzvahs. It's the Torah, or the mas and tovim which a person does. I saw once a beautiful explanation, as we say, Ois v'hoda levusha, describing the Eish HaShchayil, we describe the clothes she's wearing as strength and majesty. The clothes that adorn a Yiddish woman, a true Eish HaShchayil, are the clothes that she wears in the mitzvahs of the Ma'aser and Tovim, the chesed that she does. Those are the clothes which are worn on such a person. And therefore, v'tischak l'yoyim acharon, she's going to laugh at the very end of days. Why is she going to be laughing at the end of the days? Because she knows that she's come equipped. She's wearing the correct clothes for the Olam HaEmes. Because in the Olam HaEmes, those are the clothes that count. Had an interesting idea. It says in Pasuk by Parshas Yisro, Vayered Moshe min ha'ahar, Moshe Rabbeinu, Mamad HaSinai, comes down from the mountain, Elohim, by Kaddish HaSom, and Moshe Rabbeinu sanctifies Klal Yisro. The Jewish people are sanctified, a special Kedusha. And what does the Pasuk say? Yichavsus im losom, and they wash their clothing. And the Mephoshim explain, what's the washing of the clothing? The washing of the clothing is we're going to receive the Torah. Torah is our correct clothes. Torah is the correct raiment. Torah is the right levush for a Yiddish person to wear. So Pasuk in Zechariah, which is brought to illustrate this. Yeshua Kohen Gadol. About him the Pasuk says, Vayeshua hayalovash begodim tsorim. Yeshua Kohen Gadol was wearing disgusting, dirty clothes. It's well known that there's particular obligations that the Kohen has to wear clothes. In fact, there's Halachim and Parsha Shmini. The Torah tells us certain obligations and expectations of the Kohen. Can't grow his hair long. He can't have ripped clothing. And the Navi describes Yeshua Kohen Gadol as a person who's wearing disgusting clothing. Says Rashi, what do we mean by disgusting clothing when we're describing Yeshua Kohen Gadol? Yeshua's own children, says Rashi, Yeshua Kohen Gadol's own children have married women who are unsuitable, who they shouldn't have married. And the Navi looks and said, look at what you're wearing. Look at what's happened to your family. Look what's happened to your children. How can you dress in those sorts of clothes? And the Malach, the angel speaks to all who are standing before him, and the Malach says to Yeshua, take those dirty clothes from upon him. And then he says to Yeshua, see, I've taken off your averas from you, and I've dressed you in clean clothes. Says that day of Adibro, when we're talking about getting dressed up in the Olam HaEmes and wearing special clothes, It's referring to our ma'asim tovim. It's referring to our mitzvahs. Now he says, let's just imagine a yontif. A yontif. And the olam ha'emes, where everything is clear and everything is true, and there's no chitzonius, there's no superficiality. Everything is correct. In the olam ha'emes, the children want to invite their parents to join them for the yontif. Let's just imagine yontif begins and the parents come from the olam ha'emes. And they look down at their children and they say, what are you wearing? How could you possibly dress like that? There's a tear right across your jacket. There's a horrible stain in the middle of your shirt. How can my children be dressed like that? It's a bizoyan, it's agmas nefesh to be invited to a suda, to be invited to meet my own children. Look at how they're dressed, look at what they're wearing. What a pain and what an embarrassment what agmas nefesh will give to the families in the olam ha'emes. So it says the Oznaim Torah, Efsha. We want to have the family over together. We want to invite such people to join us over Yontav. Efsha, wait till the end of Yontav. Why wait till the end of Yontav? Sukkos. Start Sukkos, you sit in the sukkah. Mamish, surrounded by the walls of a mitzvah. And you eat your meals in the mitzvah. And you live in the mitzvah. And then you take the Dalet Minim Bo Hashem, mitzvah upon mitzvah upon mitzvah. Each day a person is putting on new clothes, better pressed, better clean, better looking. Ah! What a metziah they found in the spiritual sale. They invited a few guests into their sukkah. What an extraordinary new suit that they're wearing. They had better kavonas when they were shaking the Arba Minim. Comes to Pesach, starts the Seder night. Baruch Hashem, all the mitzvahs of the Seder. Holach Ma'anya, is there anybody out there who needs a place to eat? Can I extend the gifts the Almighty has bestowed upon me to share it with other people? They just put on a new shirt with that. Can I make sure that there are people out there who need a place to eat? They put on a lovely tie. Each one of the Dalet Cases, each one of the questions which are asked, and they answer them. And then 7 days of eating matzah, mitzvah upon mitzvah upon mitzvah. In fact, Chazal tells us that the Olam Ha'emes, any mitzvah which isn't done properly, any opportunity to do a chesed which isn't done properly, creates a tear, creates a fray, creates a stain in the garment. In the Olam Ha'emes, we only want beautifully pressed, clean, high quality clothes. And he suggests, maybe, that's where the minhag to get together with the family on Yontav, we can understand. Minhag to get to the family on Yontav in such a way that not to give them Agmas Nefesh, Efsha, that's why the minhag is that we invite parents, previous relatives on the last day of Yontav. Extraordinary insight, and a brilliant insight, and a frightening reflection on each one of our lives and obligations in this world. What gives nachas, what gives true nachas to previous generations, are the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. And the pain of the embarrassment of being invited to somewhere where the children and grandchildren aren't dressing accordingly is horrific. It's very interesting, Baruch Hashem, we zoche to have lots of interesting guests around our Shabbos table. And this concept has a flip side as well. Just like the embarrassment which is caused by for the parents because of the children and grandchildren, likewise the schusim which can be given to the parents and the grandparents as a result of the children's good behavior. The flip side is extraordinary. What left is there in the world for the parents? What yerusha have they given if not their ma'asim tovim, which are then continued by the children? A while ago we had a guest at a Shabbos table whose surname was Hella. Quite a popular Jewish name. And in discussion, I said, you know, Hella's quite an interesting Jewish name. Do you have any famous relatives by any chance? So he said, my grandmother said that we had this great grand relative who was very, very famous. And apparently he wrote a commentary on part of the Talmud, on she told me it was the Mishnah. I said, you mean you're a great of the Tosfos Yontav? He said, yeah, possibly. He says, He said to me, "Can you tell me, what is it that my grandfather said?" I said, "Well, really quite a lot." So he said, "Well, could you give me an example?" So we went to the Mishnah, took out the Mishnah, we started explaining the Mishnah, and we went through the Tosfos Yom Tov. He said, "I don't understand what he's saying." I said, "Then you better learn." And that was the beginning of an extraordinary journey of this young man of reconnecting with what it was that his great-great-grandfather taught. And the nachas which has been given to the Elter Zayde in the Olam HaEmes is extraordinary. I want to learn, I want to connect, I want to understand what it was that my Zayde wanted from me, what it was that he expected from me. And as a result of that, Baruch Hashem, I've been zoiche to reconnect. And it's quite extraordinary, nowadays genealogy is becoming a very fashionable thing, and people want to find out a little bit about their family. People want to connect. And sometimes I meet people, and they say to me, "Do you know who my great-grandfather was?" And I look at them and I say, "Do you know who your great-grandson's going to be?" If you have a family like that, if you come from such a place, it's yichus, but it comes with a frightening achrayus. When it comes to shidduchim, everybody tells you where their families are from. It's a frightening responsibility to know where we have to take our families to. In the Olam HaEmes, this is how they look at things. We come to this period of time of the 3 weeks, and we recall the memories of those people who lived and died of Kiddush Hashem. And we read about what happened to Klal Yisrael at the time of the Babylonians and the Romans and the Crusades, and more recently in our time. And we recall the neshamas of previous worlds. And it's an embarrassment sometimes. Because they'll look down at our world and they'll ask, "What are you wearing? What are you wearing in your generation? What clothes are you adorning yourself with?" It's very interesting because if you look in the halachas and Shulchan Aruch about obligations during the 3 weeks, the few different halachas appertaining to clothes. It's a beautiful suit. It's unbelievable. But it obligates the Shechionu. And then we come to the 9 days, the obligations to ensure that our clothes aren't wonderfully pressed, a little bit uncomfortable. There's this wonderful feeling that all of us have as we put on a clean shirt, crispy clean as I begin my morning. Not during the 9 days, because our morning is of a different sort. I was zeicher to spend time with Shlomo Zalman Orbach, zeicher tzaddik livracha, an extraordinary individual. I remember once having the schus of going with him to Dav Mincha by the Kaisel. And as we walked together to the place where you're checked in security, as we walked together and we were talking, I was asking questions. He said to me then, "No more questions, I want to prepare for Mincha." And I watched him make the steps as he walked those steps towards the Kaisel. His concentration and his focus, and his achonis for davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Mokom HaMikdash. Of course, with his radiant smile, when anybody would pass him by, he would give a smile, very pleasant. But he was preparing to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Mokom HaMikdash, the Mokom which we daven for 3 times a day to be rebuilt. The Mokom HaMikdash which after we've had a meal we say of Bnei Yerushalayim. And the Mokom HaMikdash that we recite, Nebuch, when we have to go to a shiva, and we say, HaMokim Menachem Eschem. That people who Nebuch lost relatives should have minichumim amongst those people who are mourning for Siyam Yerushalayim. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's frightening to notice that when a person loses a relative, a Nebuch, they're sitting shiva, they want to do alachumras. They want to be very machmir on themselves, Baruch Hashem. And most of the halachas appertaining to Nebuch, a person sitting shiva, amin hogim. But they want to make sure they do everything 100% right. Why do they want to make sure they're doing everything 100% right by the shiva? Because they want to do something for their parents. They want to ensure that the neshamas can have that aliyah and chas v'shalom. And you see the ironic thing of people who aren't so makbid in other areas of their life, but when it comes to the shiva, are they makbid? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach how painful and sad it is to me to see that during the 3 weeks, and particularly during the 9 days, everybody's looking for Heta. There's a sale, I've got to buy the suit now. If I don't get it now, who knows what's going to be happening. I'm going on holiday, the day after the 9 days, I've got to do all the washing and everything now. How can I not wear a beautifully clean shirt which is present? We're in mourning, the base of existence is destroyed. You want to wear clothes which are going to give nachas to those people who died al kiddush Hashem. You wear the clothes of the Shulchan Aruch during these 9 days. You wear the clothes of Chazal when they tell us we're supposed to feel uncomfortable. If you wear the clothes of discomfort, that's the biggest mitzvah to those people who passed away. Because we're saying to them, we feel your pain, we feel your tzar. We live with you in your difficulties. A person should want to turn kriya for the pain of what's happened to Klal Yisrael. But instead, we want to turn out in our very best and take every opportunity to buy a new suit and a new tie. Says Zalman Sofsky, Esha, maybe we can suggest that the minag that we have of Yiska at the end of Yom Tov is so we shouldn't embarrass the very people who are inviting to participate in our Yom Tov meals. Our behavior should never be an embarrassment to those people who live before us. Our behavior has to be that of a Kiddush Hashem. And our obligations during these 3 weeks when we remember is not to keep it into an intellectual, not that to be a cerebral thing, but remembrance is through the way we behave and the way we act. The mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim are the clothes that we will wear in the Olam HaEmes. Let's ensure that the clothes that we wear in this world at this time is a reflection of our commitment to the Kiddush Hashem of our ancestors in the past.